I'm Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly. You're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff. And this week, we're going to take a deep dive into taking care of yourself.
Ooh, self-care.
Self-care. Oh, yeah. I'm excited about this. I have so much to say.
When I think of self-care, I think of like fuzzy hotel robes.
Yeah.
And like looking out my window onto Central Park.
Oh, wow.
And like everything's in black and white.
Really?
And then maybe a coffee.
Maybe like a coffee. I think it's a very idyllic. Yeah, I think that's great.
Like no internet, maybe.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't even seem possible, it anymore?
No.
Mm-mm. I wish it was. I take lots of breaks, but it is. It's really hard. I think of sleeping mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Just
so wonderful.
Yeah. And I used to, I have two kids, so it's like, it wasn't really, self-care used to be like just, I would sit instead of stand. Mm-hmm. Like it's relative, right?
Yep.
So now I'm taking much better care of myself than I ever have this way. So, well, let's talk about sleep
first.
Yeah,
let's talk about it. We got a couple things that we want to cover, like sleep, like you said, like kind of alternative therapies.
Yeah.
Like acupuncture, massage, and salt therapy. Not drinking. Or
drinking less.
Relationships. Oh, God, that is like a huge one.
The big one. Yeah, really
and,
big one.
I like this one, too. Saying no or having things fall out of whack.
Yeah, you get one or the other.
Yep, absolutely.
So, well, that's, I know a couple weeks ago you told me that you had gone and bought some new pillows and new bedding because you were feeling like you just didn't have the vibe you wanted.
I totally rearranged my bedroom. So I have this like tiny little house, you know, and my bedroom's really tiny. I actually have like two rooms because all the stuff doesn't fit in one room. And like, yeah, it's very tiny. And so like in my bedroom, it's literally just my bed and I have a dresser and like a little chair and that's it. That's all that fits in there. And so, yeah, like
nice,
it is kind of nice because it doesn't really get too crazy.
Yeah.
And then in the other room, I have like my desk and I have like, you know, kind of the kitschy stuff. You know, so it is nice because the bedroom is literally just for sleep. And I feel like that's a really important thing. Like, I don't have a TV in there. I don't have any of that bullshit. It's mm-hmm. like literally this is a place to just zone out.
That's huge.
Yeah. And I had like tried to finagle the room like multiple ways, but it's so small and there's two windows. And so like I always thought, oh, you don't really want your headboard to be at a window. But then I just did that and it seriously feels like the best way the room could be configured.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of when you have a bed, which, you can get off of it both sides. I don't like to have a bed pushed against the wall because I feel like a little claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So I like to have access to both sides. So it's like in the middle of the room. It's just very like, goes with the flow of the room. Like it just feels great. And I went out and bought new pillows after we had brunch and and I was like,
so great,
that's gonna make my life good again. And it has, it really
has. It good.
So I found myself like in the last couple of weeks I'll just go into my bedroom and like lay on my bed, like, and I make my bed every morning. That's the other thing, which is I know is part of this, is like,
yeah,
I'm 37. You would think that's a thing I could do, but I used to operate in the philosophy of, look, you're just going to sleep in it again.
Yeah. And I think that is just as important as actual sleep is to make sure that you're setting yourself up for wanting to be there.
But there's like a really great feeling that you get when you pull down the sheet. And I was like, oh, this is going
to
be good.
So much of sleep is about ritual.
Yeah.
And like being able to fall asleep properly is about ritual, like doing the same things in a row every night to signal to your body. And I thought that was bullshit for so long, but mm-hmm. it is not. It's actually not bullshit. Yeah.
What's your ritual that you do when you get into bed?
I typically, I turn off the lights mostly, then mm-hmm. just the one by my bed. So I brush my teeth. I wash my face. I brush my teeth. Yep. I put my my anti-aging serum on. Don't, that is a very, very important step. So in my, so my mind is like, while I'm sleeping, I am going
getting younger by the minute.
I'm getting younger by the minute. But it's funny how that has become an important part of it, because I feel like I put lip balm on.
Yes.
I fill my water. Absolutely. So I have a thing about, I like my bed to be open on both sides too. I feel like it's a grown-up thing, but I also have, I don't want to be without a sip of water in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. So there's something about that psychologically that if I wake up thirsty, I don't want to have to get out of bed to get, so I fill up my water. Most of the time I don't drink it till the morning, but I know it's there. So it's like that.
It's like a comfort.
Yeah. It's just like a little check-in. My water's full, got lip balm on. So that's kind of what I do. And then I usually read, but I don't, look, I put my screen down. I plug it in by my bed because it's my alarm clock when I use one, but I put it screen down. Like, I don't look at it after a certain point, and then I read, and then I usually just, you know, all of a sudden will be like, okay, that's enough, or I'll wake up with the book in my hands.
I love that.
I do too. I love when my kids do that, when I find them with a book in their arms. It's such a great thing. So, and then I do have a lavender, like a pillow that's like filled with like rice or something, like one of those ones you can warm up. So what, if I know I'm wired from like a performance or just whatever, I'll use that.
That sounds lovely.
Lay it on my head or over my eyes when I'm reading, or not over my eyes.
Put on your forehead. Well, the aromatherapy helps too.
Yeah. And I don't think it really matters which. I know lavender is proven to help with sleep, but I don't think it matters which. I just think that it matters that it's the same every night. And then I do have a heating pad that I use on my feet in like January and February. Mm. I turn it on before I start the routine.
So it's all nice and cozy.
Because I sleep alone, and my toes, that's like the first thing on my mind. If my feet are cold, then I can't concentrate on anything else. I can't relax. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. How about you?
Oh my God. You're a real grown up.
I know, but it all takes like what?
Yeah.
7 minutes? But it does sound like a lot.
Well, I put in a ponytail on the very top of my head.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently that is not fashionable, but I sleep that way because then my hair, when I wake up, has a little more volume.
Yeah, it's supposed to really help.
Up on the toppy top. And yep. And I wash my face, I take my contacts out. Do all the stuff. I don't have anti-aging, but you made me feel like I need it. So I'm probably going to look into that now.
I don't know. I mean, your skin looks really good.
Oh, right. And then,
next show, Jen learns to take a compliment.
Whoa, I'm a woman in the Midwest. Come on. That's kind of, I set my alarm. And I actually set, okay, my alarm clock is 22 minutes fast. I don't know why it's that number, but it just is. So I set two alarms. So one is like 6:15 or 6:20, which usually is really like 6 o'clock because it's 22 minutes fast.
Okay, so you have like a separate alarm clock.
Yeah. Well, yes. But then lately now I've just been using my iPhone, which I get nervous about because I always think, oh, I'm going to shut it off and then I'm not going to wake up. But I hit snooze. I'm a snoozer.
Yeah.
So I hit snooze for a good 30 minutes at least before I wake up. Yeah. And I think I need one of those like ambient light alarm clocks. I feel like that might make my life a little easier. But I have a little lamp next to my bed too that I put on. It's real dim.
Yeah.
So I shut off the bedroom lights as I'm doing my stuff. So when I walk in, it's very like calming. And
yeah,
nice.
It's seriously not a joke.
It's not.
Like turning off and your screen.
But reading
also counts as.
Well, okay. So I used to be a huge reader before bed. With my Kindle in bed, and I would fall asleep with it because it just shuts itself off. But lately, now I just read OK Cupid.
That's a great thing to read before
no,
bed.
It's not, but I'll fall asleep.
I have furrowed brows.
I will fall asleep scrolling through dudes. It's not right.
Oh my God. Okay.
I know.
Intervention.
Which is probably why I had a stress dream last night. I had a stress dream that was, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I'm 37 years old. I still have this dream. I dreamt that I failed my world history class. that I didn't even know I was registered for and I couldn't find. And I didn't know where it was. And my dad somehow worked at the school and handed me the paper that said I was failing the class. Like with a big, it was yellow and then had a big red F on it.
I still have dreams about not being able to find my classes.
Why do we do that? What it's is so that? Yeah, it's a stress for sure.
I'm like trying to think of actually trying to think of things that would be worse to look at before bed than OkCupid. I can't come up with one.
Seriously, it's pretty bad.
I love that you shared it though. It's so awesome.
Well, I'm on a mission. All right.
And yeah, I love it.
It's like sometimes the only time that I have, you know, that's like to just, and then I'll be like, oh God. And then I'm like,
we'll sort of making a list a little bit. Like sometimes I'll jot some stuff down before I go to bed. Yeah. So it's not on my brain. Well,
thank you for trying to make me feel better about
no,
that.
I think I appreciate the on a mission thing a lot. So I don't want to totally dog that, but
treating it like a job search. Yo.
Also, don't do that before bed.
Yeah, it's not the best idea.
Yeah, but anything else?
No, and then I just wake up.
Yeah, so you're a snoozer.
But my cat sleeps in my bed.
Oh, so that's a good thing to talk about. Pets
yeah,
and pets.
She... It's this. We have a very, I guess that's pretty ritualistic because she has this one side that she sleeps on and she actually puts her head on a pillow. Like she literally is like, thank you, good night, like a human.
Oh my
and,
God. And so
yeah, it's pretty cute. So we don't like touch her anything in the night. She just, but she's right up on my head. Like we are on our own pillows.
Yeah.
And it's cute. Aww. And so yeah, you wake up in the morning and then oftentimes she's like, I am not ready for this day yet. Yeah, it's pretty cute. So
that's sweet.
What else?
So what else have you been doing anything to keep calm or take care of yourself otherwise, like massage? Do you do regular massage?
Well, I'm not on the regular, but I do go, and I would say at least go a quarterly.
Yeah. It's very expensive.
It is expensive and
worth it.
Way worth it. And actually, I've gone to a lot of places. When I lived in St. Paul, I used to go to Fresh Spa Salon on Grand Avenue. It was great. That was more like kind of the spa type experience. You know, like the ambiance and the aesthetics are all very like dim and relaxing, and we talk in soft voices.
Right. Oh my God.
What's wrong with you?
And I'm always really intimidated by places like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's like this old house that they kind of remodeled. Oh, right. It's really cute. Sweet. But then my friend Ellie Hino opened up her own massage. What's the word? Practice, I think. Over on Lynn Lake. And she is more clinical. Right. She has her own little room, her own office, and it's very cute and calming as well.
Yeah.
It's a little more clinical than like the spa type therapy, but I will say best massages I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like you go, you know, and they ask you kind of where your aches and pains are and you tell them, but I sometimes feel like at the spa place, they just do the same thing for everybody. Like they don't really, it's like, we're just here to, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I go to Spa, which is there's a location on right by the Lunds in Northeast or the Northeast Southeast area. And then there's one in Uptown too, but it's got the stop sign.
Okay.
That's called Spot.
That's cute.
So you've probably seen it. But they, same way. It's like they're all like hyphenates. They're all like dual trained and they're like physical therapists or like prenatal massage therapists. Yeah. And so they understand like,
real pain.
Real pain. And like people that sit all day, like she's like, do the opposite of what you do all day to stretch. So if you sit all day in that like kind of, you know, 90 degree angle, then you should stretch your legs the other way in order to release that tension.
Oh.
So like an arch, you know, or like hold your leg up above and stretch back and like try and create that arch in your hips.
That makes sense.
Doesn't it? And then, you know, that's immediately what I thought. I thought, this isn't like rocket surgery.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes total sense. So ever since I've been doing that, I've had, I mean, a complete reduction, 100% reduction in pain in my hips. And I do stand more too to work. Yeah. I stand at the buffet or in the house somewhere or sit on the ball, like the therapy ball.
Yep.
But they do such, and if I can't get into someone, I'll just see whoever is next. And I have had consistently good, great care with them. And it's not an intimidating environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not,
I love that.
It's right on the street, you know, right on, And I don't know which one, but it's, you know how you get down in Northeast area and then you just drive around until you get to your
location? Till you find a parking spot.
It's all like one ways, one or the other. But there's tons of parking and I just have had great luck there.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
I like the little more like half and half therapy, clinical.
Well, especially if you have a I always had this like lower back thing and like I went to Ellie and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, she spent a lot of time working that. And it was kind of funny because we're really good friends. And I was like, I'm going to take off my clothes now.
Oh, yeah. That is a funny thing.
That was super hilarious. She was like, it's
how weird that we're good. More comfortable with people we don't know.
I know. Well, right. And after the first time, I was like, I don't even give a shit.
Yeah.
But no, she's great. And I think also just like the touch part, like human touch.
Yeah.
That is a really important thing. And if you are a single person or whatever, like you don't often.
Yeah.
You don't always have that kind of, you know.
So many of our problems would be solved if people were, their skin was touched more. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like so like crunchy or whatever to say. But I have this thing where I see someone and if I haven't seen them in a while or even if I do, but they have that like look on their face, like they're not looking at anything in particular. They look frazzled. And I'll just like I'm going to intentionally touch you now.
Oh my God. And, like, I touch too much. Yeah.
And I'll like touch people's like the sides of their arms and like give them a
squeeze.
And I am a hugger. So I'll give them like a big hug. But it's just like completely grounding to be touched. And
well, that's
we go
like
through our lives, especially in the Midwest.
Temple Grandin. Do you watch her movie on HBO by Claire Danes when she has a hugging machine? Because she'd get all like out of whack and she made her own like hugging machine like the cows use or the people use for the cows before they get slaughtered to calm them down.
Yeah, but people just come over and I'll just hug them.
I think it's great.
You don't need a machine.
No machines.
Maybe I'll do one of those like Lucy booths like from Peanuts. Yep,
I like it.
Hugs.
I think 5 cents.
And then donate all the money.
It would take a long time. You'd have to give a lot of hugs.
That's okay.
You should do $5 hugs.
Okay.
I feel like people can spare that.
I like your ideas. So there's lots of good ideas about sleeping on sleepfoundation.org. It's the National Sleep Foundation's website about designing your bedroom for ideal sleep. How much sleep do you really need and figuring out how you can work it in. Healthy sleep tips and more. So it's not just Jen and I that are trying to sleep well. There's an actual foundation about it. Hey, I'm going to try the salt caves this week.
That is so exciting because I've heard about the salt caves and I saw a little video about the salt caves, I think in a movie theater.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Oh, probably down in that same area, the Riverview.
Yeah. It was the Riverview.
Well, I tried acupuncture about a year ago for the very first time. I was having consistently like terrible hip pain and I did everything I could. I did the massage that was helping. It made it better, but I couldn't quite get my fingers on it. And somebody that I trust finally said, why don't you try this acupuncture? I have a place where you can go. I was familiar with the neighborhood. It's right above Chow Girls in Northeast. And I went and I left without being in pain. For the first time in 3 months.
Crazy.
It wasn't like I was a non-believer, but I just had never done it and never seen it in action. And I'm such a huge believer now. And
I need to go.
It's the place I go is Northeast Community Acupuncture. So you're in a room with like 10 people. It's very quiet. And they scoot
like
around.
Like on a Wednesday night?
Yeah.
I think my friend Amy Kretzky is part of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And it's like a group of practitioners and they just scoot around from person to person and then it's just by like they have a suggested amount
totally
and you put it in an envelope in the front and it's absolutely lovely.
She talks about that a lot.
And it's so I'm gonna go back this week because I'm having something going on. I just woke up yesterday with like a pain in my kind of like right shoulder blade and a little bit of sinus stuff. I don't know if it's connected, but I'm almost 100% sure that it's because I ate a bunch of sugar over Thanksgiving. And sugar is, and I don't think it is for everybody, but it is poisonous for me. It makes me so
I think it is poisonous sick. For everybody.
It makes my joints hurt. And it's the only thing I added, right? I eat, you know, potatoes, I eat greens, I eat turkey or poultry. It's the only thing I added. I don't really eat sugar. And so I had, you know, pie like 3 days in a row. Mm. That is really weird for me. So I'm sure it's that. It's too bad, but I'm sure it is. God, so I made an appointment for the acupuncturist and I made an appointment for the salt caves. And I will report back on the salt caves to tell you how
it is. I cannot wait. My best friend Sarah and I, we do a best friend Christmas every year.
Well, nice.
And, yeah, and we actually try to spend the entire day together because it's very rare that we ever get to kind of hang out, you know, because
it's so schedules important. Are just because you get like a 2-hour dinner.
She's like a eternal scheduler, like booked for months and months, and then I'm no better, you know. So then, of course, we never do that with each other. We just do it with everybody else. So we try to do like a day, and we've done like massages and stuff and dinner and whatever.
I love that idea so much.
Last year she suggested the salt caves, and then it just never worked out. But so I've been interested in this since then. So I'm really excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. So
do you like, this is what I think in my head as a picture. I think of, just to give you a little insight, I think of like the seven dwarfs.
Yeah.
Okay, like going into the mine.
Oh, yeah.
With their like pickaxes.
Yep.
And they're going into the salt caves, and they're gonna knock some salt out. I don't think that's what happens there.
There's a lot of pictures on their website if you wanted to see it in person. It's at like 48th and Nicollet, and if you Google Salt Caves Minneapolis, you'll find it.
So how did they build the salt caves in the basement?
So they opened up the side of the building and they dumped like 70 tons of salt.
Oh my
God. Down there. Some of it's like loose, some of it's brick. They do yoga classes down there. They have a kids area now that's separate from the grown up area. So you can like take your shoes off and like put your feet in it. But there are a couple people that I trust have gone and said that it really made a difference.
That's great.
That's enough
for
me to at least give it a try. But it have like relaxing chairs, like those anti-gravity chairs you get to sit
what?
In, you know, in there. And so you're just like
floating in the salt.
Sounds like a great time just to sit in a quiet place for 45 minutes. I'm in.
I want to know if the deer ever try to go there.
The deer, just the general deer?
Yeah, for like the
deer population.
Lick. They're like, this... I like to lick the salt.
That would be
and then they would just like line up outside the salt caves.
Like the David, that would be a very like David Lynch moment.
Yeah, it would.
You know, to have like all of a sudden they wake up, the residents.
And there's like a surrounded by deer.
Right. That's a good question. I think we should make sure to follow up on that.
You're really nice to indulge me.
I'm into it.
Ridiculous. All right. So what about, so you and I both are not huge drinkers, and
no, I have like a cocktail, you know, one. Yeah, but I'll have like one.
Did you used to be? Because I used to be a giant drinker.
I did too. I think I got it all out of my system.
Yeah, like I was a huge drinker, and not to the point where it was like a problem per se. I mean, I never interfered in things that I was doing in my life, but I drank too much. I stayed out too late. I didn't sleep enough. I felt really crappy the next days.
It was as a lifestyle.
Yeah, like like I'm a fun party girl. I like to. I was in a sorority. Okay.
I love your body language while you're doing.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, but like amazing. I think I don't know. In the last few years, like it's funny. In the last few years, you know, if we go out for my birthday or something, like I'm always the one who drives everybody home. Because like they all celebrate too much, and then I'm always like, no, it's cool. I'll just, because I don't know. I've never, probably the last 6-7 years, like it just hasn't been that much of a thing for me. And
yeah, I definitely have a feeling when it's time to stop. So even if I have, if
one
I'm
or two
out
drinks,
and I have like one or two or three drinks, I have like this very physical reaction to stop drinking and start drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not even a thing that I could over drink or over imbibe anymore. It's really weird. And also I do not have time to be hungover. And I don't mean that in like, I'm really busy and fancy.
Oh my God. So I just have to like go to like yoga class and like
the co-op. I have to go spin and I cannot be hungover
like
for
soul
spin
cycle. Class. Okay. And like my pumpkin spice latte. So it's just like, I gotta like go to Lululemon because I have like a really big sale.
Oh my God. That's, is that like, how you say
so
that?
Many, you didn't know how
what? I didn't know it was lemon.
Lululemon, yeah.
Oh, okay. Isn't that weird when something becomes so real? Yes,
like I used to think all-purpose cleaner was all-purpose.
Amazing.
And that Veterans Day was about veterinarians.
Can mispronounce something for years.
Yep.
Yes. So I'm with you there. I can have a couple and then I'm like, nope.
Yes. It's funny. Like I think being a comedian and like being in bars and places that serve alcohol.
So sad.
Yeah. It's like all the time. And it's so, it really loses its luster. Like when people are like, let's go to the bar. I'm like, yeah, it's not really a thing. Like I like to go to a bar if it's like with a group of friends and you're literally just there to like, if you're going to have dinner or like have a drink or be social, but not like, you know, when you think of what it means, like, let's go to the bars and like do that whole thing. I'm not, that's not my cup of tea at all. The bar is
no longer a destination for me.
No. And I think, you know, when you are around alcohol just like constantly, it doesn't have any effect on me at all. Like it doesn't sound fun to, you know, drink or whatever. And I, like last night I had a beer at the comedy show.
Yeah.
A beer. I was like, I'll have a grain belt. That's great.
When it sounds good and you have it and then it feels, but it tastes good. And
totally. It's purely for the enjoyment. And like, I think the last time I actually had too much to drink, which is actually kind of funny, was funny that I mentioned it, Ellie Hino's bachelorette party. It was the spring and it was one of those like a shower turned into dinner turned into a bachelorette party, so you were the whole day.
Wow.
And so we had some beverages in the day and it was like one of the first days of spring that was like warm and outside and like the leaves weren't on the trees yet, but it was just like beautiful. So you're just in like kind of that mood and it was really fun. And then my friend Raina came and picked me up. She stopped in at like 11:30 and she saw me and she was like, yeah, let's just get you. Let's just take you right on out of here.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like you got to have a good balance of friends.
Totally. And then I made her go through the drive-through McDonald's, which is the thing that like never happens.
Yeah, but you have to.
Yeah.
And Taco Bell or McDonald's is completely appropriate when you've had too much.
I was like, I just want a fish sandwich.
Oh, and then I always got a fillet of fish.
I was texting like every single man in my phone. Like,
oh, God.
It was not good. I woke up the next day.
That's a good time to bring all that shit up.
I was like,
I love it.
And so I called Ellie, I think, and I was like, I just want to confirm that it was your bachelorette party last night and not mine. Like, this feels. But yeah, that was a good 6-7 months ago. So I'm good for the once a year kind of deal.
Yeah. I went to a show last night that had a 10:30 start time. 10:30 doors.
Mm.
That's been a while. And I immediately was like, I need a stiff cocktail.
You're like, maybe a Red Bull vodka. Just give me a little, you know.
Seriously.
A little
oomph. I had two naps and a coffee before I went out. So, but yeah, I had two gin and tonics. That was enough. Like I woke up today and I was like a little.
Yeah, you kind of have a little headache.
Yep.
You know.
And I drank a ton of water last night. I'm not, because of the sugar stuff and everything over Thanksgiving, I'm not feeling tops anyway, but it felt like it was at Ice House.
I love that.
That's a great room. And I just wanted to have a couple drinks. So I did. But
Pahua lives right across the street from there.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Random fact.
Random
Pahua, fact. What up?
Yeah. So, but when it tastes good and it sounds good and everything aligns and you have a safe way to get home, imbibe.
Totes.
Totally.
But then don't text all your ex-boyfriends.
On the way to that show, actually. Yeah, don't do that.
They never respond.
There's an app that you can say.
No, sometimes they do.
If they're also drunk, they probably do. On the way to that show, I was thinking about the next 2 weeks of the first few weeks of December and all the things I'm going to have to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. Because it's good to be able to, but all the repercussions that come from like sometimes feeling left out. But if I said yes to all the things, how everything would be out of whack, right? Like, because your bed wouldn't be made and you wouldn't be sleeping properly and laundry. You would forget your anti-aging stuff. laundry wouldn't be done and you wouldn't be prepped for everything else. And there's a lot of fun stuff in the next couple of weeks. And I just can't. Like Coleman has a choir concert on Thursday.
I love that.
It'll be so much fun. It's a Seuss salute.
Cute.
I know. I want to invite everybody to come.
Oh my God, take video.
I will. It's going to be really fun. He's excited and he got a part to play. And so it'll be a great time, but we need to think about saying no. Like I need to like actually say no to things and not just have them sitting out there like maybe, or because that the energy is sort of.
Well, I think sometimes the holiday season can sort of like all the parties and stuff that happen in December can kind of suck your energy right out too. You know, it's like, you got to do what's good for you instead of just putting it all out there all the time like that. I start to get like kind of resentful when that happens. And like, I'm tired of putting it out for everybody else. Like I need to rejuvenate that a little bit and take some time. And like, I don't really care to go make small talk with associates for 2 hours on a Wednesday. Like it's just too much sometimes for me.
Oh yeah. No. And I'm not good at happy hour.
Yeah.
I'm really not good at that time of day. Cause I'm really, I'm usually low energy and I am nervous in social situations typically. And so I drink too much and I eat really shitty food.
Yep.
And totally. Then like, I have to stay longer because I drank too much.
Well, yeah, and like all these like client parties and stuff, it's like it's nice to be invited and you feel like you have to show up because it's your client. But man, I kind of don't want to talk to any of you.
I know. It's like I don't want a very small life seems more appealing every single day.
Yeah, like the small talk just kills me.
Oh, yeah.
Like I don't care if you have a closet for your tablescapes.
It's like knives. In my sides. Small talk. Like little tiny jabbers. Like little paring knives. Just
And then I also as a person who can't fake anything to save my life. Like if there's someone I don't want to talk to and then I'm forced into a situation it's bad. And so I just am like
I'm also a terrible faker.
Yeah.
Praise be terrible fakers.
It's so funny. Like someone was like, I thought you didn't like me and I was like, oh, you know what? You'll know. Mm-hmm. You will know if I don't like you. It's very obvious because I can't hide it.
No.
It just is.
Well, and it's good that I don't have to encounter a lot of people that I don't like anymore. Yeah.
That's because we do. I think that's another thing with self-care is that you have to decide who are the good people in your life. And like good people meaning you want to be around and you feel good being around and vice versa. You know, like that is
bi-directional.
Yep.
It's like they feed you, you feed them, you lead with better energy than you started.
And it's that can be various varying degrees of leading and following at various times in life, you know, depending on what you need and what they need. But
friendships are very fluid.
I always say, and this is going to sound stupid, but I always say like friendship contracts, which because some friends are like your lifelong friends, you know, they're there. Some friends are like 6 months or a year or whatever. Like they come into your life for a reason.
Yeah. Or like my neighbors are my summer friends. Mm-hmm. So we don't see each other for 6 months because of the winter.
But it's just snowing. All very, you know, and so you just have to accept them for what they are. Mm-hmm. Some will come, some will go, some stay. Like that's just how it is. And I think as women, it's also an interesting thing because like, I feel like for a lot of men, or the men that I know, like they keep such close ties with sort of their past, you know, high school friends or college friends. And like that carries on typically, you know, they add in other people along the way, but those people are still always there through their life. My dad, my brother, everyone I know. And as women, like I don't keep in touch with like really anybody I went to high school with, you know, aside from just the topical Facebook stuff. Or college, I think I have one girlfriend from college still. And the rest of my friends are friends I made in my mid to late 20s or even in the last few years.
Yeah.
And like it changes that way because I think you get to know who you are as a person.
Yep.
And what you're into. And like in high school, you're friends with someone because they're in your math class or they live next door. And as an adult, you really get to decide and figure out like, oh, this makes sense for us to be friends. We align on these things or we like the same stuff. It has nothing to do with sort of geography or location or you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Adult friendships, I think a lot of times are based on common interests, which is why Twitter has been so essential to my friendships, mm-hmm. because I, you know, you're able to bond and find people where you wouldn't typically. And then, but otherwise, I think it is like frequency stuff. I think when you're a parent, frequency and proximity is a huge part of friendship.
Yeah.
Because there's, you can't get in the car all the time. But I agree with you that, it's like the other part of it is just the common interests and where you are in your mm-hmm. life. It's like I have a lot of single, you know, for someone who was married for 10 years and has two children, the bulk of my friends are single and childless. And I don't mean that negatively at
what?
All.
What? You better when watch you say, yourself.
When you say the word childless, I just feel like it's not a category necessarily.
Without child.
But the best, it's fed me so much to have. Yeah. And I sought those friendships out. Like,
but you know what? Like, as someone who is without child.
It's like,
I will tell you, I think it's very cool what you do. People. And I say this because I don't have kids, so I don't know how to be a parent or talk about parenting or whatever. But I do have feelings that I think it's a really good example to set for your kids, that you also have things that you're into and you have friends that you're friends with and you do the things for you as well. Because as a child of a parent of parents who didn't do that, like, they don't have anything to enjoy right now. Like, they're 65 years old and they don't have friends or a social life or like hobbies that they do that they enjoy. And like, I think that's such a healthy example to set for your kids that, like, yes, they're important, of course, and their needs are come first and all of that. But at the same time, you also have healthy things that you like to do and that make you who you are. And so you're not just their parent. You're also these other people. And I feel like that's such a positive example to set. So
I think you're
job.
Thank you. I think it
will
like,
you be
I'm
my mom
be,
also.
Yes, I will. And they I just had this really big realization when I was, you know, when I realized that I wasn't going to be married to their dad anymore, that I wasn't going to they would live longer lives as like without me, yeah. as you know, living in the same home with me and having my like general influence than they will with me. And I couldn't teach them how to be married to their dad anymore. Right. I couldn't show them how to do that well.
Right.
But what I could show them is like how to be happy standing in a city you've never been in the rain with like $20 in your pocket. Like, how could you be like happy solo? Which I think is the most important skill we'll ever learn. Mm-hmm. How can we be happy like we have nothing on the calendar for 5 days.
Oh my God. That
and
sounds so great.
It does sound really great. Oh my God. But like, you know, on the third day, you're like, okay, this is, you know, it's getting, I'm a little bit like
lonely and
yeah, because it does sound good, but then you like get into it. So it's like figuring out like what you prefer to do with your downtime, like what energizes you, what do you need to be completely renewed for when you're back with people, that kind of stuff. Like I could show them that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I decided to do, is show them like how to be treated as a person, like a solo person, because I really didn't see myself with anyone else ever again. I thought it was going to be them and my business and, you know, who knows what. But I really didn't, it was bad enough where I didn't ever see myself in a relationship again. And that was maybe protecting myself or whatever, mm-hmm. but I was like, I don't have a choice. You know, I'm not getting rid of my children. Like, it's actually the best thing that ever happened to me. And the chance to, like, show them how to be a contributing member of society and, like, a partner to someone, whether that's emotional, like, business partner, like, mm-hmm. TA and student. Like, we're in partnerships our whole lives and relationships. And we can, you know, some of them we don't get to choose, but we can figure out how to make them the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I was just like, that's what I'm going to show them. I can do that. And so it was, sometimes it was really shitty because I'd have to say like, well, you know, so-and-so wasn't treating me well. So I'm taking a break from them right now. And it's like, if it's, you know, and the author, who wrote the Where the Wild Things Are? Shel Silverstein, but...
Yeah,
Marie Sednack.
Thanks, Kyle, producer.
Producer Kyle. On the fly.
So, we're in our fishbowl studios.
But he's got
we can see Kyle through the big window. That's
he's got a great quote, Maurice Sedneck, that says something about and look it up and we'll link to it in the show notes. But it says if it's the truth, you tell them regarding children and how much they can handle.
Agreed.
And like,
don't worry about how they're gonna.
They have no idea how complex relationships are. It's sort of like having the sex talk with them early before it's weird. Like, have the sex talk before kids are attracted to the other sex.
Yep.
You know what? It's not fucking weird then.
Well, and also, like, I have a friend who, the father of her child has another child and mm-hmm. with another woman. And, like, that child is six and doesn't know that he has a half-brother. And it's like, you know, it's like that if you just tell the kid now, it's not a thing. And I know this because as someone who found out that I had a half brother at age 20, like that, you know, in the world of big deals, it's not, you know, it's not that huge of a deal, but it's a little traumatic to all of a sudden be like, oh, my God, there's another person out there that I'm related to. And I had no idea, you know, you kind of just have like this image of what your life is, and then, you know, this something like that just kind of comes and explodes that, and you're like, well, what else isn't do I not know about, what else is,
you know, that's the key, is yeah, that it makes you, it's a different reality.
And you probably have this too, like as an adult and you look at your family, you're still, you start to see like, oh mm-hmm. this all makes some sense now. But as yeah. a kid, you just don't have that, you know? And
well, and you don't know that finding out about a half brother or sister would be the best thing that ever happened right. to them.
And then maybe when you're like, that little, you don't have the context to like kind of build up these things about it. And it just would be part of who you are.
Yeah.
It's like if you're adopted, like, why wouldn't we just say you're adopted? You came to us in a very different, you know, yep. in a different way than how Billy came to his mom. But we love you, and this is how it is, and you're special, and this is why. Instead of like all of a sudden at age 9 having a kid being like, you're not my real birth parents. You know, it's just to have open conversation.
Well, I think that's part of the conversation, overall conversation about being like practicing self-care and just being like having just blatant and full-on honesty with yourself and others is also practicing. It's a big part of mental health. And not having those things out there, like when you're not, you have that like constant like little spin of anxiety when you haven't been honest with someone.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you are okay with the lie or dishonesty or not. It's just that it is kind of a constant spin that informs your mental health and even your physical health over time. So anyway, I went on a long rant about that, but I think it's an important conversation. So you just think like, if you're no longer happy in the relationship, then figure out like what you can give, set mm-hmm. a boundary. And then if that still isn't working, then take it back one more step. And it doesn't need to be like a big capital M moment. It can be just like part you just back off mm-hmm. until it feels okay to you.
No, I'm a big proponent in that. I don't have time for shit. I ain't got time for this shit.
And that's good. I mean, I think the earlier you can realize how little time you have on this earth, the better. Because you will have better friendships. You will have...
Well, I'm just feeling good about yourself. I feel like, you know, as women, I think sometimes we're sort of programmed to just like love everybody and like be pleasant and take it all and like accept whatever people are giving you and like all the bullshit. And I remember being in college and I had this group of friends who I really loved and I thought they were hilarious. And we ended up living next door to each other in this apartment building. And I lived with this group of guys, one of which who I started dating while I lived with, Scandalous. He was really cute.
Yeah.
And he said to me one day, I'll never forget it. He goes, why are you friends with them? He goes, why are you friends with those women? And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, they're so rude to you. Like, you will ask them a question.
Wow.
And they will literally start a conversation with someone else just to not have to talk to you. And I was like, wow, I never like really
saw it.
And like then I started to see it after he pointed that out to me. And, you know, it took me a few years, but finally just like pulled the plug on those friendships completely. Mm. And my life changed exponentially.
Yeah.
You know, like you didn't have like the bullshit drama and like the stupid stuff. And like, you know, he said, she said shit. It's like, grow up, people. Yeah. Like, if you think that your friends, you know what? Like, people talk about people. This is what we do. Like, you know, there's a difference between, like, relaying a situation that happened with you and another person to another friend.
To inform them and be, to be empathetic.
Versus being like, oh my God, did you see what she was wearing? Can she even? Like, there, it's no very tolerance. Different thing. Yeah.
The person who gossips to you will gossip about you.
Right.
That is 100% true rule.
Like, but also, we all do it. I feel like, you live in a naive society if you think that people don't have opinions about everything, like, and about you being one of those.
Oh, for sure.
And the people who get so, like, upset about that stuff, like, to me, I'm like, you want to talk about me? Great. I could give two shits. I really could.
Yeah. What people say about me is none of my business.
I don't even care. It's like, actually, I think it's kind of hilarious because I'm like, why are you spending so much time on me? That is really flattering. But but anyway, that's just sort of what I think about that.
Yeah, so. No, I think it's good. I think it's good to talk about with the people that you trust.
Yeah. Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. The trust.
Right. Good talk.
Circle of trust. Good talk.
Circle of trust. Well, thanks for joining us this week. You're the best.
You're the best. This is Jen, and you can find me on the Twitter, Jen Schall, or on the internets at jenschall.com.
And this is Kate, and you can find me on Twitter at CleverKate or online at clever-kate.com. You can find this podcast at mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes. Take a moment to rate us there if you would. We'll make you cookies.
I will. You will.
XOXO.
JK.